The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Ayin Bet. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Maran Zekaratiya Fabatzada and Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Hashem Terechem Ben Aiden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Asher Imam Moshe Ben Dina and Anafanado. Fata Nefesh and Fata Gmu Fata Kerem Adabar Vechen Yina Soma Numan. Amen. In today's daf on Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. And we are starting at the two dots. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines before they get wide. Mishnah, quote from the Mishnah. Ganav Mishel Abiv V'Tavach U'Machar. Guy stole from his father, stole an animal. And then what did he do? He slaughtered the animal. So he has to pay 4 and 5. And then his father died. So the Hiddush over here in the Mishnah is that since his father died after he slaughtered it, so he was slaughtering a stolen animal. However, if his father would have died in the interim, then he is Yoresh's father. So then what he stole, he ends up owning because of the inheritance. So that's the Hadush of the Mishnah. Kanav Meshet Abiv V'tavach O'machar V'hakak Met Abiv Meshelem Toshma Rav Ha'Mishabam Hine Rav Ha'Merav Nachman Ganav Shor Sheshne Shutafim Utbacho V'hoda Le'ehad Mehem. He stole a shor that belonged to two partners and he slaughtered it, and then he was modeh to one of them, which means that he stole it and slaughtered it, and therefore he's patur, because we have a law that says modeh b'knas is patur, but he only was modeh to hef. So the question is mahu hamisha bakar amar achmana velo hamisha hatzai bakar odilma hamisha bakar amar achmana vafilo hamisha hatzai bakar. When the Torah says you have to pay 5 times, does it mean 5 times full animals, not 5 half animals? Or does it mean no, 5 halves? Do you pay half the damages? Not the damages or half the payment, because he was more dead to one of the partners. So the question is, can you split the payment? So the Gemara says, Amar le hamisha bakar amar achmana velo hamisha hatzai bakar. That's it. Either you pay 5, we don't split the payment up. Etive from our Mishnah, Ganav Meshel Abiv V'Tavach U'Machar V'Hakach Met Abiv Meshalem Tashlumei Arba'a V'Hamisha. He stole from his father and he slaughtered it. Right? Then his father died. So what does he have to do? He has to pay 4 or 5 to the inheritors. Who does he pay to? To his brothers. Whoever else is going to be inheriting. V'Ahacha Kevan Demet Abiv. Once his father dies, Kemo Shekadam ve'oda le'ahad mehem damit. So now it's similar to the case where he was going and admitting to one of them. Katani mishalem tashlumeh arba'a v'hamisha, and still says he pays 4 or 5. What's the question of the Gemara? Once his father dies, and now he is yoresh, a chelek in the animal. So therefore, he's part of the 4 and 5 payment. Means, yeah, he gets paid also. He's not worse than one of the inheritors, so therefore he doesn't have to pay a full 4 or 5. It's split, let's say, amongst the brothers, him being one of them. So his part already is paid. So therefore you're paying, let's say, instead of 4, you're paying 3. So if it's the same question that we just asked, we said in a case where a guy admits to one of the partners, can he get off paying, let's say, half the price? We said there's no half price. Either you pay 5 bakar, or there's no din of hatzei bakar. What do you mean? But our case in the Mishnah, where he stole it, he slaughtered it, then the father died. Okay, now what happens when the father dies? Everybody now, including him, is a yoresh equally to this animal. But he has to pay 4 or 5. To where? To the inheritors. but including himself. So if you're not paying full 4 or 5, the Mishnah says you pay it. So you see that you don't have to pay a full 4 or 5. That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara comes along and says, Amale Achabe Mayaskinan Kegon Sha'amad Abiv Bedin. We're talking about before the father died, he was Omed Bedin, which means he took the son to court when the son was still alive, and the Bedin found him guilty that he has to pay the 4 and the 5. And therefore, once already they found him guilty in a court when the father was alive, even though the father died, now he owes the 4 or 5 now. He's not a Yoresh. Which means if they found him guilty only after the father died, so he's a Yoresh, he's included in the calculation. And then if you're right, you don't have to pay. Because you only pay full payments. Mashiach, over here, the father was still alive. The guy, kid stole, kid slaughtered. Father took him to court. Beit Din said, yeah, I have to pay 4 or 5. Now the father died. Once already Beit Din was posek, then that's made 4 or 5. That's it. He is now obligated to give it to the other, but he was obligated to give it to the father. Now when the father dies, he has to give it to his brothers, but he's not part of that payment. That's the Gemara answers. The father took him to court when he was alive. That's the answer. Good. Al lo amad bedin mai eno mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Oh, but if it was not omed bedin, you can tell me that he doesn't have to pay anything. He acheh adetani sefa ganav mishel aviv amet v'achar kach tavach umachar eno mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha nifnog bedideh b'amet devarim amorim kishamad bedin lo amad bedin eno mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Which means, why did the Mishnah have to give a case? The Gemara gave two cases. One case you have to pay, and one case you don't have to pay. The case that you don't have to pay, the Mishnah said, is talking about where the father died, then he slaughtered it. Then he's slaughtering his own animal. So therefore, in that case, it doesn't have to pay. What did you have to give that case for? Give a case where the father was still alive, and he didn't take him to Beit Din, which means you always rather narrow the dinim instead of giving a case that's far out. You gave a case in the Mishnah. The father was alive, the guy stole, the father took him to Deen, now he has to pay 4 or 5. You want to give a case where you don't have to pay 4 or 5? Keep the case the same. The father was alive, he stole, he slaughtered, and the father didn't take him to Deen, and then he died. What did you have to jump to a case where you stole it, and then the father died, and then you slaughtered it? What did you have to give that case? Or keep it in the case where the father is still alive, and make the chiluk in, omed bedin, and not omed bedin. So the Gemara says, you're right, we could have given that case. I did the Nasiv Resha Ganav Mishel Abiv Etalach Omachar V'Hakach Met Abiv Nasiv Sefan Aveh Ganav Mishel Abiv Umet Abiv V'Hakach Tavach Umachar. Which means, since already we said in the Resha about Mishnah, we stole from his father, and then he was Tavach Omachar, and then Met Abiv. So therefore they brought the Sefa as well. Ganav Mishel Abiv, Umet Abiv, V'Hakach Tavach Omachar. We wanted to keep it like congruent or consistent with the language of the Shabbat. We could have brought a case and throw in there where he didn't bring him to Deen, just like the first case was brought him to Deen. We could have brought the second case, he didn't bring him to Deen. But the Mishnah wanted to keep it consistent. The Tzafra Amar Le Hamisha Bakar Amar Achana Nafilu Hamisha Chatzai Bakar. Oh, the next day he changed his mind. Rav Nachman tells Rabba, you know what? When it says Hamisha Bakar, it doesn't only mean Hamisha Bakar. Even Hatzai Bakar. For example, back to the partner case. You were more to one of the partners, now you only owe the other partner, pay him. And the reason why I didn't tell you that yesterday, Delo Akhle Besrad de Torah. Because I did not have my meat that I used to eat in the morning, and if I wasn't able to think properly. As she says, "Lo digdati ta'amo shel davar." In the olden days, they used to eat meat as a certain breakfast or whatever it may be, and that brought them chokhmah. They call that the umsa they used to eat. So he says, "Mishum de lo achle besad the Torah." Yeah, something like that. Some say over here, he says, Ta'amor, Ta'amei HaTorah Nimshelu LeBasar. The reasons of the Torah are compared to meat. So he says, I didn't taste the meat, meaning I didn't give the I didn't get the flavor of the law. I didn't have the understanding of the law. That's one interpretation as well. Oh, so then the question then is, if you're always going to pay Hamicha Hatzai Bakar, we have to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said when a guy steals from his father, so it makes a haluk if the father died or he didn't die. L'chaura, what's the difference? Which means you should always have to pay even in the second case. Why? According to the first understanding of Rav Nachman, where there's no chayuv of hamisha chatzei bakar, we can understand the chiluk in the Mishnah very simply. Which means, when the father took him to court, so there was a chayuv to pay arba'a b'chamisha. So therefore, he's chayuv to pay the brothers the proper chiluk. However, in the sefa, where the father died before the Tiviha and the Mechira, that means before Din as well, so the Chayuv is really only half Tashlumin. He was never obligated to pay on his Chalek. Therefore the Ben is Patu to pay everything. That's on the Havamin of Rav Nachman. However, according to the Maskana of Rav Nachman, that the Chayuv of the son in the beginning is even if Lo Amad Bedin, the kid has to pay the brother's half payment, and there's a chayuv tashlumin even on hamisha atzei bakar, which means even if the father died after the shechita, he should pay the brothers their chalek. Once already you're saying you don't have to pay a full five, so what's the difference if you had hamad abedin or not? What's the difference if the father died or not? Bottom line, you always have to compensate the brothers their chalek in whatever you owe. And if you're going to hold like the first shita of Rav Nachman that says there's no hamisha atzei bakar, you either pay full or you don't pay. Oh, so how about that, Bedin? You owed it. You owed it five, you got to pay it. It hit you. You got to pay it. Father died in the interim. Okay, so now the father died, you have a chalek. You never obligated five at all. So if you have to pay anything. Now, shake it if you're saying that there's no, you could pay half. So, machbatli. When the father died, so your chalek.
You don't pay.
You don't pay, but compensate the brothers. Pay the brothers their chalek. Well, what's the chaluk in the Mishnah? What's the difference whether the father dies or not? The Gemara says, Amale resha karinan be utbacho kulo be isura. Sefa lo karinan be utbacho kulo be isura. Okay. We have the pasuk utbacho, which is mashma. Utbacho, you slaughtered an animal that was totally be isur. That's right. When the father did not die yet, so it was his animal. So the timiha was a total isur. You slaughtered an animal that was 100% stolen. Mashi'ikin in the sefa, utbacho, you're right, it was stolen partially, but not 100%, because you have a chelik in the animal as well, because you're a yoresh. So now he's learning in the nasha. Utbacho, you have to slaughter the animal totally bi'isur. And in the case of the Mishnah, it was not totally bi'isur. So therefore, you don't have to pay. That is the
chelik.
Correct. No. Which means, according to him, the only time you have to pay is when the tibiha was done 100%. Correct, before the father passed away. Meaning it was done 100% bi'isur. Mm-hmm. When it was, he had no chilek in it. Mashiach, if he has a chilek in it, so that, but he'll hold Rav Nachman in the case of partners, let's say, where I slaughtered an animal. When I slaughtered the animal, I was obligated to both partners. I stole it and I slaughtered an animal that was totally bi'isur. Then I was more there to one of the partners. Oh, by the way, I stole it tonight. I'll be exempt from one partner, but I'll have to pay the other partner. That's Rav Nachman's final answer. Hashochet b'nim said terefa. Okay, what was the case? Amishnah, you slaughtered the animal, you found the animal, became a terefa. This is not kosher, right? Had a blemish. So what's the deen in the Mishnah? It's not edible. So we had a machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama said, doesn't matter. You slaughtered them, even though it became a terefa, you have to pay four or five. Rabbi Shimon said, no. Terefa, it's not edible, therefore you don't have to pay. But a machlok, tarakama, and Bishimon. Amale, Rab Habibi, Mehuzna'a, Rab Asher, Shema' minna. We learn from over here. Ena l'shchita, ela l'besof. One of the cases in the Mishnah was also Hashochet Cholin Ba'azara. What's the case? Guy takes Cholin, non-sanctified animals, and he brings it into the temple courtyard. Okay? Now when you do that, the animal becomes Asur Ba'ana'ah. You're not allowed to eat that animal. Because you're not allowed to take a mundane animal and bring it into the Kodesh and slaughter it. Again, Tarakama said, you still have to pay. And Rabbi Shimon said, no, in that case over there, Tanakama said that you have to pay. Shochet Cholin Ba'azara, you have to pay Arba'a B'Hamisha. That was the case of the Tanakama. So the Gemara is learning a lesson from over here. Gemara says, Amar Rav Habibai Mechozna, Amar Rav Asher Shma'amina, Eina L'Shechita Eina L'Basof. That when does Shechita considered Shechita? When you're slaughtering an animal. So he wants to say the Shechita hits at the last moment. Even though it's a whole process, you go like this, you're slaughtering. The Shechita doesn't hit until till the end, till the last moment. What's the proof? He says, if you're saying that the Shechita is a continuous action from beginning to end. Now again, we're talking about when you're cutting the simanim of the animal. Correct. So why are you telling me that he should pay 4 or 5? Once when he slaughtered part of it, the animal becomes a surbana'a. Idak lo demare katabah. Very simple question. You tell me that the Shechita begins from the beginning. The second he puts the knife to the simmanim, right? What's going to happen? The animal becomes a surbana'a. Because you did it in the azara. Now by the time you finish the Shechita, it wasn't yours. So therefore, he shouldn't be hayav 4 or 5. Because you're only hayav to pay if you slaughtered the owner's animal. But by the time you put the knife to it, it's not the owner's animal anymore. It already becomes a surbana'a immediately. Must be from the Mishnah. The Shechita doesn't hit until the end. Therefore, it's considered that you made Shechita to the owner's animal. Because otherwise, if the Shechita starts here, it's a surbana'a right away. So by the time you finish it, it's a surbana'a. It's why should be hayav. That's the Gemara's proof. Amale Ravuna Bered Rava Kikamechayev Ahu Purta. Which means really I could say this Yeshna Shechita, I could say the Shechita begins from the beginning to the end. And that which we said, the Hayav Arba Hamisha, is for this initial Shechita. Which is for the initial cut. They did in the beginning, even though the animal is not fully Nishchat, I can tell you the Shechita begins from the beginning. Yishna Shechita mitchila. And then with the second you put the knife to it, you write it became asur bana, but you have to pay 4 or 5 for the initial cut. Learn like that. Amar Rav Asher, lo tidhe. Please, don't reject Rav Habibi's ra'aya. Utbacho kulo ba'inan veleka. Don't tell me you're going to be hayav just for the first cut. Torah says utbacho. Utbacho means you're going to slaughter it. Slaughtering means totally. And therefore, if Habibi is right, Shechita is at the end, and therefore you're not hayav. And the only reason why you're hayav in the case of our Mishnah, you know, is because you slaughtered the whole animal, and the Isur Ana'a doesn't take place to the end. You cannot reject and tell me that the Shechita, you'll be hayav for the beginning. Because the Mishnah, the Torah's language is utbacho. Utbacho means you got to slaughter the whole animal. And until you slaughter the whole animal, it's not considered a tibiha. So therefore, according to the Rav Habibi, the proof is positive. Shechita is at the end. Therefore, you're slaughtering. Then it becomes a subhanah. Shechita doesn't start. No, it's not dead. Shechita doesn't hit until you finish the last cutting of the simmanim. Oh. And therefore, you have a proof that Shechita is not Ela Lebasof. Gemara says, Ela Kashya. But we have a question. According to those opinion that says Shechita is at the beginning, yesh l'shechita mitchila. So how do they learn Amishnah? They can't go against Amishnah. Again, according to the Shechita that says the second you start the cut, the animal becomes a subhana'a. So therefore, why do you have to pay 4 or 5? Balma to subhana'a. So he goes, Amale, hachi amar Rav Gamda, meshemed Rava, kegon sheshachat, miksat simanim bachutz. So you learn the case like this. You slaughtered part of the simmanim outside of the azara. So far, it's okay. You're okay. Which means that's considered shechita that belongs to the owners. So when you're slaughtering it outside, no problem. Then when you got to the end, you brought it into the Azara, and you slaughtered the last part in the Azara. So therefore, according to that Shita, it's still considered the owner's, and therefore you have to pay Arba'a v'chamisha. Which means, when you slaughtered, let's say, outside a little, right? Did it belong to the owner still? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Outside the Azara. Did it become a Subana'a? Then you brought it inside the Azara. Now you had a little left. Right? You had to slaughter a little left. You cut the rest of it. Okay, at that point it became a Subana'a. But bottom line, it's still considered the owner's at the time. You finished the Shaita at the same time. So definitely going to be Hayav Arba'a V'Hamisha. I think that she over that brings me a nice nafkamina in this subject. How do you consider Shaita? Is it just at the end, or is it from the beginning to the end? So look at Rashi, Dibur Matil, En al Shaita. Say that, Rashi, En al Shaita. En Shaita Nikret En al Besof. Nafka Mina, what would a Nafka Mina be? Le'anyan ha-mehashev b'kadashim chutz la-mekomam chutz la-zmanam. O mehashev shelo l'shman. En ha-mehashev ha-enam ked ha-hashim besof Shaita. That's right, if a person of Kohen, let's say, has a bad machshava, he's going to eat the animal outside of its place. Or he's going to eat the animal outside of its time. That's a machshava called pigul. So, right, that renders the animal unfit. But the question is when? Only when he's doing the shechita. So therefore, if that's how you say, en l'shechita en l'basof, he's slaughtering the animal, he's thinking, I mean, out of its time. So long as the last second, he's okay. So therefore, you have no problem with pigul. But if you say, yes, l'shechita en l'shechita en l'basof, even if he had that machshava from the beginning, already it'll make it problematic. So you see, there will be nafka minot in the Beit HaMikdash, how to learn Shechita. Now we brought another nafka mina over here. We brought nafka mina about Arba'a v'Chamisha. That if you're going to say what? If you're going to say the Shechita, it's at the end. So therefore, we can understand the case of the Mishnah. Cholin la'azara. I brought cholin. Whose animal is it? The owner's. Okay, I'm slaughtering. No Shechita yet. Didn't become Yisubana ayat. All of a sudden, the last second, that's when the Shechita hit. That's when it comes to Subana, that's why I have to pay 4 or 5. But according to the opinion that says the Shaitas from the beginning, how do you learn the Mishnah? Oh, I slaughtered it outside the Azara. I slaughtered it all the way, and I had a little left, and I brought it into the Azara. Tick, I slaughtered the last item, it became a Subana. At the same time, I have to pay Arba'a v'Chamisha. So there's two ways to learn the Mishnah of Cholin ba'Azara. Depending on the Shita, what you hold, comes Gemara and says, Ika demat nila, aha. Some learn this deen of Rav Habibi that we said. Yes, the Shaita doesn't hit to the end. On this, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Meshum de Rabbi Levi Saba. Ena the Shaita Ela Lebesof. The Shaita is called on the final cut. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshna the Shaita Mitchila Ve'atzof. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. Shaita is considered from the beginning to the end. Amar Le Rav Habibi Mechazna Adar Mashi Le Makasim Rabbi Yochanan Chodin Shnishto Mazalav Deoraita. Oh, he must hold. Rabbi Yochanan, that chodin that was stored in the Azara is not asur b'hana'a min haTorah. Why is that so? The Isa kadatag the oraita. Because if you're going to tell me that when I stored a chodin in the Azara, that's going to be asur b'hana'a min haTorah, why does the Mishnah say that if a person stored his chodin in the Azara, he has to pay 4 or 5? According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, the shechita from beginning to the end, v'chi shechita purta, what's when he stored it? A drop. Asra, you almost said the animal, idach, lab de marakataba, therefore the rest of the animal is not slaughtering, it's not considered you slaughtering the master's, the owner's animal. Which means he's asking a question of Yohanan according to this version. Again, Yohanan said what? Yeshna, the shaita, mitchila ba'atsof. From beginning to the end. So he says, oh, that's what you hold, beginning to the end. So you must hold then that when a person slaughters an animal, in the azara, holding the azara, it's not deoraita. Why? Because the second you put the animal, the knife to it, already it's a subhana'a, and the rest of it, already you're not slaughtering your animal anymore. It's already a subhana'a. He's asking it from our Mishnah. What's the case of our Mishnah? The guy put the chodin in the azara. Yes, we said what? Our Mishnah, you have to pay 4 or 5. Why do you have to pay 4 or 5? The second you put the knife to the animal, you shaita right away. And therefore it's a subhana'a, therefore you didn't slaughter your animal, which is always holding the azara, should always be what? Isud Rabbanah. It's not going to be Isud Uraita. Because the second you start the Shechita, already the animal becomes Isud Banah, and you didn't slaughter your own, you didn't slaughter an animal of Holin. That's the Gemara's question, according to Yohanan. So he says, Amadeh Rav HaBeled Rav Back to the question. Oh, you know what the case of the Mishnah is talking about? Oh, you know when Yahayav only mazara? Yahayav the first cut. Yahayav the first little. You know what I mean? Shakat's beginning, and the Hayav you on the first cut. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, Amalin HaMashay, lo tidche. No, don't reject what Rav Habibi told you. Why? Utbacho kulo ba'inan veleka. You got to slaughter the old animal. You're not going to be Hayav only on the first cut. Torah says you have to slaughter the entire animal to be Hayav. Ela kasha. How is Rabbi Yochanan going to learn our Mishnah? Amale. Achi amar Rav Gamda Mishved Rav Akika Mechayev. Shachat Mifsat Tzvinim Bachutz. Ugmaram Bimifnim. Same answer. The case of Yochanan will say is he slaughtered part of the animal outside and then he slaughtered the rest inside. So basically it's the same Shekla V'Tariya of Rav Habibin. He was just reacting to something Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shechita is from beginning to end. Oh yeah, Shechita beginning to end. How do you learn the case of Cholim Ba'azara? How do you learn the case of our Mishnah? So he comes, I'll tell you the case of the Mishnah is talking about. Well, you slaughtered partially outside. So that's the onus. So all the onus. So then we hayav. And then the last drop, you went back in the Azara. You slaughtered, became Asubana'a. And it really belongs to the owner with that last Shechita. So you slaughtered the whole thing. And therefore you'd have to pay 4 or 5. Let's stop Rashi over there. And she says, Ahu purta mechayev, dechi echid avi shchaita linat cholim ba'azara, betchaila avi nami terwela linat tashlumin, v'gamran bifnim, tika ot bachok kulo kulim shle sabana. Exactly, which means, the reason why you have to say the case where you slaughter partially outside, partially inside, because you need to slaughter the whole animal. Initially we tried to answer, yeah, you hayav in the first cut. No, you can't be hayav in the first cut. Yeah, it's ot bachok. You got to slaughter the whole thing. Oh, so what did you do? You slaughtered partially outside, and then you brought it inside, now in that last cut, that's utbachok kulo, but it was still the owners at that point. So then we have a chayav. So it comes out we have a machloket. To summarize this machloket, to crystallize what comes out, the maaseh, whatever, for our learning. Machloket. So today basically we saw two machlokot. Or two, it's really one deen and then a machloket. The one deen we saw was that when the Torah says hamisha bakar, Rav Nachman originally wanted to say, Hamisha bakar velo hamisha chatzei bakar. That was original. But then the next morning he said, when I analyze it, it means even chatzei bakar. And therefore, in a case where a guy has two partners, he stole from them and he slaughtered it, and he was modet to one, he would have to pay the other partner his compensation. And who had deen with the case of a father, where he would have to pay, let's say, the other brother's the compensation that's coming to him, where he steals from the father, and then the father dies. Right? So even though he doesn't have to pay himself, but he have to pay the other brothers the proper compensation, because even according to him, you have to say, Hamisha Hatzaeh Bakar. So then what's the difference between when the father dies before, when the Mishnah doesn't have to pay at all? Because when the father dies before he slaughters it, it's not considered Utbaho Kudo Be'isura. Torah is saying when you slaughter, it's got to be totally not yours. He says part of it was his at the time of the slaughtering, therefore that's why the Torah doesn't say you don't have to pay. And the next thing we learned is there shechita mitchila v'atzof or not? Mitchila v'atzof means the shechita begins from the beginning moment. If you learn like that, then you have to say the case of HaMishnah is when you slaughter the animal partially outside the Azara, then you brought it back into the Azara. That's only condemning of Hayav Arba V'Hamisha. Or if you say shechita is only at the end, very simple. You slaughter the whole animal inside the Azara. And the reason why you hayav arba v'hamisha is because the shaitan doesn't hit to the end. So then you were slaughtering the owner's animal, and it became a surbana. That's why you have to pay arba v'hamisha. So that's basically the machloket on that. Mishnah. Ganav al pi shenayim. Guy stole, according to the testimony of two witnesses, v'tabach u'machar al pihim. And those same two witnesses testified that he also sold or slaughtered the animal. V'nimsi'u zumimin. Happened to be those animals, those witnesses became Edim Zumimim. Edim Zumim means two other witnesses came along and said, how can you have testified that this guy stole the animal on Monday and that he slaughtered it on Monday? You were with us. Therefore, whatever they were trying to do to the Ganav, or the so-called Ganav, the Torah does to them. Therefore, they were making the Ganav pay 4 or 5. So therefore these Eidim, once they become Zumim, have to pay 4 or 5. Meshalemim hakol. They have to pay everything. Case number 2. Kanav al pishenayim, betabach umachar al pishenayim achirim. Let's say two witnesses testified that the guy stole. Two other witnesses testified that the guy slaughtered or sold. Elu ve'elu nimsi'u zomimim. Both of them subsequently became edim zomimim. Harishonim mishalemim tashlome kefel. Ve'acharonim mishalemim tashlome gimal. Each one pays according to what they were trying to obligate the fellow. The first witnesses, they were trying to say he was a ganav. They were trying to obligate him kefil. So then when they were fined zomimim, they have to pay kefil. The second set of witnesses were trying to not obligate kefil. That already was obligated from the first. So therefore they have to pay the difference between kefil and five. What's the difference? Three. So therefore each one pays according to what they were trying to obligate the fellow. Now let's say only the second group were found to become zomimin, who mishalem tashlume kefil, vehem tashlumin, vehem mishalemin tashlume gimal. Very good. If only the second set became zomim, that means the first set was still in play, therefore he is a ganav, therefore the fellow has to pay kefil, and the second set is going to have to pay three. Echad min acharonim zomimin, let's say only one of the second set became zomim. There was two witnesses. Only one of them became zomimim. Batla edut shiniya. So we have a rule. Once already one of the group becomes a zomim, the entire group becomes nullified. And therefore, there is no payment of shilosha on that side. So all you have left is the first two witnesses. Therefore, the fellow has to pay kefil. And there is no payment by anybody on the rest. Because once already you nullify one of the two witnesses, the whole kat becomes batel. And the witnesses themselves don't have to pay, because she did not make hazama on both of them. Echad min harishonim zomimim. But let's say one of the first group became zomim, the group of geneva, batla kol ha'edut. Now all four witnesses and the whole testimony is nullified. Why? Shim en geneva, en tibiha, ve'en mechira. Because once already you nullify one of the first group that said geneva. So that you haven't proven geneva yet now. You haven't proven stolen. That group is now. You can't prove geneva, and tibiha mechira means nothing. Because maybe he slaughtered his own thing. So therefore, once already you nullified one of the first group, the entire edut is batel, nobody pays anything. Now let's read Rashi. As she says, let's read Rashi in the Mishnah. Mishalmin lo et hakol. Okay, in the first case, right? Where the fellows, the witnesses, were found zomimin on everything. So they have to pay four or five. Mukila kishuzmu techila ala tibiha. Okay, the Gemara is going to establish the case where the hazamah took place in a certain order. First they were huzam on tiviha, and then they were huzam on geneva. We'll see in the Gemara why it has to be in such an order. Next, Rashi, v'acharonim mishalemim gimal leshor. Ugon shuzmu acharonim techila. Di'adei geneva uzmu techila, batla la edut tiviha. Deduma me'alim makruhu lo. V'chi metzameh amai mishalmeh. Correct. Which means, let's say you have two sets of witnesses. So Rashi's pointing out that you have to have the edei hazama on the Tiviha witnesses first, and then the Adi Azama on the Geneva. Because if you knock out the Geneva witnesses first, so then already who says that the Tiviha was done on a stolen animal? Maybe the Tiviha was done on his own animal. So therefore, you have to have the Tiviha first, and then the Geneva was Muzam. Again, once you knock out Geneva, then the Tiviha, so you got Muzam. Muzam on what? Already if there's no Geneva, then Tiviha and Mechira could be was done on his own animal. So she just says this to me in that order of Tiviha first, and then Geneva. Gemara will say that. But la edut shniya, v'hu mishalem kefil mishum rishonim, v'hem peturim. Then edim mishalem mamon ad sheyazum shneihem. When you knocked out one of the second group, they don't have to pay anything. Because edim only pay when both of them become huzam. But la kol ha'edut. That's the last case of the Mishnah. Where the one witness of the first group became batel, so that group is knocked out, and the second group doesn't mean anything anymore. Because once there's no Geneva, there's no Tiviha and Mechira. V'hu patur v'hem peturim. V'afilu hazru v'huzmu acharonim acharechen. Even if, let's say, the second group right? Went back at the play, which means they testified to Micha Mechira. They got Huzam. Let's say that witness, that those witnesses that tried to knock them out, got Huzam themselves. Doesn't matter. En mishalmim shereb batla edutan kivar. Once they're knocked out, they're knocked out. They cannot come back into play. Once they do this batel, it's batel. V'uchashu. Tekevan delo ganav lo tabach. The logic of that last case is, once there's no geneva, so there is no tevicha. V'achi lo mechaybu ela imanu yitim. Shesatu gufa shel edut. The case of the Mishnah is dafka talking about hazama. Hazama, you're knocking out the edut themselves. You're saying, how did you testify, you with us? That's the law of Hazamah, the Torah, that if they're trying to make somebody else pay, right? So therefore, they were knocked out through a Hazamah. Once you're knocked out through a Hazamah, that's knocking out the testimony of you with us. Once they're batel, as she says, they're batel lagamre. They cannot come back into play. If, let's say, the second group became Muzam again, doesn't matter. Once the first group is knocked out, they are knocked out lagamre. V'chol shekein, im muzmu shnayim barishunim techeila. Oh, v'day. If, let's say, the first two were knocked out. Not only one of the first group, but the first two were knocked out. So there's no geneva bechlal. Once there's no geneva, then obviously there's no tibiha mechira. She'edut sheniya betela. אלא שבזמן שלא הוזמו אלא אחד בטו שניהם אבל כשהוזמו שניהם but let's say the first group was הוזם שניהם the first two guys of גניבה were הוזם which we had you testify in גניבה אימנו ייתם לא בטלה עדות לישונה the עדות לישונה is not בטל אלא משלמים כפל they have to pay כפל. Now, what is this last part of that she's saying? It means only when one is huzam, then nobody pays. Because edut shebatla miksata batla kula. But once both of them became huzam, that's etim zomimim. So they have to pay kefir. The zomimim pay the kefir. Mishalimim, that's plural. Mishalimim kefir. Okay, that's very good. That's the case of the Mishnah. Look at the Gemara. Gemara. Itmar. Et zomim. Abaye amar lemafrei ahon nefsal. Rabba amar mikano laba ahon nefsal. Okay, famous machloket between Abaye and Rava, how do we look at the psul of Ed Zomim? Let's discuss again. Two witnesses come along and say, testimony. Two other witnesses come along and say, how did you testify? You with us. So now the first two witnesses are called Edim Zomimim. What is the Torah's Hadush on Edim Zomimim? They have to pay whatever they were trying to make the defendant or the plaintiff pay. Okay? That's Tim Lok, Hashem Zamam La'asot La'achiv. Now, these Edim Zomimim, there's a Hiddush now that they become Pasul. When do they become Pasul from? Do they become Pasul from the day that they become Huzam? Or do they become Edim Pisulim retroactively from the day that they gave the original testimony? Let's take an example. On Sunday, Edim testified. Okay? On Thursday, they became Edim Zomimim. When do the original witnesses become Edim Pesulim? Starting from Thursday, on the day that they became Zomimim? Or do we say no? They become retroactively Edim Pesulim from Sunday. Big Nafkamina. Every star that they signed in between and everything they testified for in between now, they're Pasul. They're Edim Pesulim, they're Shaim. Or do you say no? Whatever they signed up until then is good. And starting Thursday, when they became Zomim. That's the Machlok Rabbi Yad Rabbah. That's the Gemara. Itmar, Ed Zomim. Yeah, it goes retroactively. Okay? The Kodashina, she gives us a case, clearly. Yeah, retroactively. Bring him back to Nisan. No, from the day of Huzam. Now the Gemara explains. Abaye amar lemafreya nifsal, ma'hu sha'ata da'asid, havi lerasha. Comes out, we know from the day that they testified, on Sunday, they were rasha'im. The Torah amra, al tashet rasha'ed. You can't use rasha as a witness. Rava amar, no, mikano labao nifsal. Ed zomim hiddushu. The whole thing of an ed zomim is a tremendous hiddush. Why? De'a tre utreninu. It's two against two. Why does the Torah give a bigger ni'manut to the second two witnesses than the first two witnesses? The whole thing is a hadush. Therefore, only when only take it from the time of the Hiddush and on. Which means the whole concept, why should the second two witnesses that say you with us be believed? Then the first two witnesses that were testifying, it's two against two. So the whole concept of Edim Zomim is the Hiddush itself. So take the Hiddush in the minimum amount of right. Make the pasul from the time of the testimony, wait for the time of the Zomim. Don't go back retroactively. That's one way of learning the Mahalak between Abaye and Rava. Second way of learning, Ikad Amre. Some have a different way of learning Rava, Namek, Abaye Svirande. Really, Rava agrees to Abaye in principle that Ed Zomim should be pasul the Mafreya. Ta'amal Mafreya Hunifsal. Because really, from the time he testified, that's when he is a Rasha. However, you know what the reason why Rava said, still, we're going to say that Ed Zomim doesn't become pasul until the present time, which is in principle he agrees with Abaye. You're right, it should be the Mafreya. But why am I saying, Mikano Rava? Because I'm worried about anybody that did a transaction with these witnesses in between now is going to lose their property. It's not fair. It's not fair to the people that, let's say, bought a piece of land. Now what's going to happen? They're going to take the land away because these guys, they didn't know they were pasul. So it's not fair to retroactively hurt the people that transacted monetarily in between. That's like against like the rabbis jumped in and said, you're right, that should make sense. It should be pasul really. Retroactively, but we're gonna say that they're okay because of the peseda for the lekuchot. Okay, good. So now comes the Gemara and says, "My benayu, what would be the difference between the two ways of learning Rabba? Let's just crystallize it ourselves. The first way of learning Rabba is it's a hadush. The whole thing is a hadush. It is what I mean. So therefore, en lekabo elam shat hadusho ba'ilach. Second shot is no. I really agree it should be retro, but the peseda the lekuchot." So Yamana says, Kegon, my benayu, what's the difference between two answers? De'asidu betre lehad, betre lehad. That's one. Let's say, you know how the guy became Zomimim? There's two witnesses, right? Two witnesses knocked out one guy, and two witnesses knocked out another guy. When two knock out one, and two knock out one, that's not a hadush anymore. Because that's not two against two. So therefore, according to the first logic, really, I'm only saying you start from here because it's Hadush. If it's not a Hadush, go retroactively. But according to the second shot, that I'm worried about the Likuchot in between, so therefore even if two knocked out one and two knocked out one, still we're going to put it Mikan Ulhaba. That would be one Nafkamina. Second Nafkamina, Iname, the Paslinu Begazlanuta. Or let's say they were posale the witnesses, not what Edim Zomim mean. They were posale the witnesses, they said, you're a Gazlan. Meaning you're a thief. Now a thief is a Lasha. Now, according to the first pshat that says Hadush, that's not a Hadush. Once already we're saying that the witnesses themselves, there's a reason why I'm believing the second over the first ones. Because the second are not giving a testimony on event, they're giving a testimony on the guy is a Lasha himself. You're Gazlan. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. We're not arguing with what you're saying. You're saying that this guy killed. We're not arguing. That's true. We're not saying different. We're just saying that you yourself are a Gazlan. Okay. No. So therefore, that's why their edut is pasul. But that's not a hadush of the. That's not a hadush. That's we understand why you should believe the second. When they're not contradicting the first witnesses, elawat. So therefore, according to that, you should take it retroactively. But according to the second answer, no. You never take things retroactively because you have the peseda of the lekuchot. So where they were poselim because lanu tarashi shelo hizminu ela edu shnayim edu shin gazlanim. Exactly. Which means you can't say, why are you trusting these more than these? What do you mean? They say something different. Well, I'm trusting both. So you say he killed. I'm not arguing with that. But bottom line, you're a Gazan. So therefore, it's not like I'm taking one more than the other. So therefore, according to the first answer, you have to take it retroactively. There's no Hadush. Well, the second answer, we're not pissing out the corner. I'm going to speak to it out. Mishum Hadush Leka. One of the rabbis followed Rava, meaning Ed Zomem. He was posel him mikan ulaba. Rav Asher amar el cheta kivated Abaye. Rav Asher says no. In this case, we go like Abaye. El cheta kivated Abaye biyal kegam. Very famous piece we've saw several times already in Shas. There are six exceptions that we follow Abaye on. Normally we follow the halakha is like Rava. The Gemara says, in Ya'al Kegam, those six cases are, the Yud stands for Ye'ush Shelo Midat. It's a machloket in the Gemara, Baba Metzi'ah, somebody makes shi'ush shelo midat, which we'll see that case. Then you have ed, the ayin is ed zomim l'mafeu nefsal. You have kiddushin, that's the kof kiddushin, shelo nimsiru lebi'a. Is it a kiddushin? Example, like a person's mekadesh, let's say, two sisters, and doesn't know which sister he was mekadesh. So he's not married to anybody according to one shita, because bottom line, he's not able to have bi'a with anybody, because maybe he's married to this one, and he's having bi'a with the sister. So then what's kiddushin shelo nimsiru lebi'a? It's also mahal rabayin rabba. That's ya'al. Kagam. The kof is, no, ya'al, I skipped the lamed. Lamed is lehi. That's a machlok and an erubin, a certain type of lehi, a pole that they're using to makshir a mavui. Then kegam is the gimal. Then the gimal is get shenit batel, which means, let's say you said the get with a shaliach, and then you will batel the shlihut, is the get good or not? Ya'al kegam, and the mem is going to be, mem is, and what it is, mumar ochin nevelot teavon lachis. Exactly. If you have a mumar, a guy that's eating nevelot and terefot in order to anger, so the question is, what is his status? Is he kashir le'idut or not? Because he's eating it teavon. He's not eating it lachis. He's eating it fatava. Does that make him pasul le'idut or not? Again, those are the six cases. We'll go to each case when we get to it in the Gemara. But the point is, our point is ayin. Ayin is enzoman. And then we go like Abaye in this case. And Abaye says what? Ed zomem lemafreya hu nifsal. That's the yaal kegam. Baruch Hashem. Amen. Amen.